The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is the London Visited podcast on your favourite podcast provider, bringing to you the facts, history and information about different parts of this great capital. If you have been to London, are planning on visiting, live here, or just love London from afar, then this is the podcast for you.
Hi, I'm Steve, and welcome to our podcast. We're here for all things London and to tell you more behind some of the iconic places and people in London's history. In this episode, we go to the theatre, but we go to the Old Vic. Don't forget to visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel, London Visited, to see videos covering this place and so many others across London. Also, if you love the podcast and the channel, why not join us as a member? Join a group of what we like to call our London Visited Crown Jewels, where there are many different benefits, including a members-only monthly podcast. Have a look by going to patreon.com/London Visited. And now to this week's podcast. The Old Vic is a 1,000-seat, not-for-profit producing theatre in Waterloo, London. It was established in 1818 as the Royal Coburg Theatre and renamed in 1833 the Royal Victoria Theatre. In 1871, it was rebuilt and reopened as the Royal Victoria Palace. It was taken over by Emma Cons in 1880 and formally named the Royal Victoria Hall, although by that time it was already known as the Old Vic. In 1898, a niece of Cons, Lillian Bayliss, assumed management and began a series of Shakespeare productions in 1914. The building was damaged in the 1940 during the air raids and became a Grade II listed building in 1951, after it reopened. The Old Vic is the crucible of many of the performing arts companies and theatres in London today. It was the name of the repertory company that was based at the theatre and formed, along with the Chichester Festival Theatre, the core of the National Theatre of Great Britain, on its formation in 1963, under Laurence Olivier. The National Theatre remained at the Old Vic until new premises were constructed on the South Bank, opening in 1976. The Old Vic then became the home of the Prospect Theatre Company, at that time a highly successful touring company which staged such acclaimed productions as David Jacoby's Hamlet. However, with the withdrawal of funding for the company by the Arts Council of Great Britain in 1980 for breaching its touring obligations, Prospect disbanded in 1981. The theatre underwent complete refurbishment in 1985. In 2003, Kevin Spacey was appointed Artistic Director, which received considerable media attention. Spacey served as Artistic Director until 2015. In 2015, Matthew Walker succeeded Spacey as Artistic Director. The theatre was founded in 1818 by James King and Daniel Dunn, formerly managers of the Surrey Theatre in Bermondsey, and John Thomas Searines, then the marine painter to the King. Searines managed to secure the formal patronage of Princess Charlotte and her husband, Princess Leopold of Saxe-Coburg, and named the theatre the Royal Coburg Theatre. The theatre was a minor theatre, as opposed to one of the two patent theatres, and was thus technically forbidden to show serious drama. Nevertheless, when the theatre passed to George Bulwell Davidge in 1824, he succeeded in bringing legendary actor Edmund Kean south of the river to play 6 Shakespeare plays in 6 nights. The theatre's role in bringing high art to the masses was confirmed when Kean addressed the audience during his curtain call, saying, "I have never acted to such a set of ignorant, unmitigated brutes as I see before me." More popular staples in the repertoire were sensational and violent melodramas demonstrating the evils of drink, turned out by the house dramatist, confirmed teetotaler, Douglas Jerrold. When Davidge left to take over the Surrey Theatre in 1833, the theatre was bought by Daniel Egerton and William Abbott, who tried to capitalise on the abolishment of the legal distinction between patent and minor theatres, enacted in Parliament earlier that year. On the 1st of July 1833, the theatre was renamed the Royal Victoria Theatre, under the protection and patronage of Victoria, Duchess of Kent, mother to Princess Victoria, the 14-year-old heir presumptive to the British throne. The Duchess and the Princess visited only once, on the 28th of November of that year, but enjoyed the performance of light opera and dance in the pretty and clean and comfortable theatre. The single visit scarcely justifies the Old Vic, its later billing as the Queen Victoria's own theatre. In 1841, David Osbaldeston took over as lessee, and was succeeded on his death in 1850 by his lover and the theatre's leading lady, Eliza Vincent, until her death in 1856. Under their management, the theatre remained devoted to melodrama. In 1858, 16 people were crushed to death inside the theatre after mass panic caused whilst an actor's clothing caught fire. In 1880, under the ownership of Emma Cons, for whom the memory there was a plaque outside and inside the theatre, it became the Royal Victoria Hall and Coffee Tavern and was run on strict temperance lines. By this time, it was already known as the Old Vic. The penny lectures given in the hall led to the foundation of Morley College. An endowment from the estate of Samuel Morley led to the creation of the Morley Memorial College for working men and women on the premises, which were shared. Lectures were given backstage and in the theatre dressing rooms. The Adult Education College moved to its own premises nearby in the 1920s. In November 1923, the theatre participated in a pioneering radio event when the first set of the opera La Traviata was broadcast live by the BBC, using transmitters in London, Manchester and Glasgow via a specially installed relay transmitter on the roof of the adjacent Royal Victoria Tavern. With Emma Cons' death in 1912, the theatre passed to her niece Lillian Baylis, who emphasised the Shakespearean repertoire. The first radio broadcasts from the theatre were made as early as October 1923 by the BBC. The Old Vic Company was established in 1829, led by Sir John Gielgud. Between 1925 and 1931, Lillian Baylis championed the rebuilding of the then derelict Sadler's Wells Theatre and established a ballet company under the direction of Dame Ninette de Valois. For a few years, the drama and the ballet companies rotated between the two theatres, with ballet becoming predominantly based at Sadler's Wells in 1935. Baylis died in November 1937. The Old Vic was damaged badly during the Blitz, and the war-depleted company spent all its time touring, based in Burnley, Lancashire, at the Victoria Theatre during the years 1940 to 1943. In 1944, the company was re-established in London, with Ralph Richardson and Laurence Olivier as its stars, performing mainly at the New Theatre, now the Noel Carrad Theatre, until the Old Vic was ready to reopen in 1950. In 1946, an offshoot of the company was established in Bristol as the Bristol Old Vic. In 1953, Michael Bentall became the artistic director. Michael devised a 5-year plan during his tenure. The plan was to produce Shakespeare's first folio in 5 years, starting the plan with Hamlet, starring Richard Burton and Keir Bloom, as Hamlet and Ophelia respectively, and ending the plan with Hamlet, starring John Neville and Judi Dench in the leading roles. Michael remained at the Old Vic Company until 1962.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In 1963, the Old Vic Company was dissolved, and the new National Theatre Company, under the artistic direction of Sir Laurence Olivier, was based at the Old Vic, until its own building was opened on the South Bank, near Waterloo Bridge in 1976. In July 1974, the Old Vic presented a rock concert for the first time. National Theatre director Peter Hall arranged for the progressive rock folk band Griffin to premiere Midnight Mushrooms, the fantasia inspired by Hall's own 1974 Old Vic production of The Tempest, starring John Gielgud, for which Griffon had supplied the music. The Old Vic Youth Theatre was an acting company for young people between the ages of 12 and 20, mainly from the London borough of Southwark. The group was formed by Tom Vaughan of the Old Vic Theatre, Raymond Rivers of Morley College, and Barry Anderson of the South Bank Education Institute. The Inner London Educational Authority was the enterprise's main funding body. During the early spring of 1977, auditions consisted of improvisational scenes run by the Youth Theatre's first professional directors, Lucy Parker and Frederick Proud, took place, and around 40 applications were chosen to form the company. By the middle of the summer in 1977, the Old Vic Youth Theatre had performed two plays for paying public. The first was The Kitchen by Arnold Wesker, which also incorporated improvised scenes alongside the actual script and was staged in the Emma Cons Hall at Morley College. The Youth Theatre's second production, A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare, was first performed at the George Inn Courtyard as part of the Southwark Shakespeare Festival the same year, and was the company's debut production at the Old Vic Theatre itself. In the autumn of 1977, a new round of auditions took place, and the existing group expanded into two. One group concentrated on a famous scripted play, while the other would devise a play through improvisation, from which the material was scripted into a play by a professional playwright. The youth groups continued to produce plays, with new members auditioning each September until the mid-1980s. The Old Vic was significantly restored under the ownership of Toronto department store entrepreneur Honest Ed Mervish in 1985. In 1987, his son, David Mervish, installed Jonathan Miller as artistic director of the Old Vic, and the theatre enjoyed several critical successes, including an Olivier Award for a production of the musical Candide, but suffered three straight years of financial loss. In 1990, Mervish terminated Miller's contract over budgetary issues, earning much negative criticism in the British press. In 1997, Mervish appointed Sir Peter Hall as artistic director and, again, enjoyed critical acclaim with such productions as The Master Builder with Alan Bates and Waiting for Godot with Ben Kingsley, but continuing financial loss. Within a year of the appointment, Mervish terminated Hall's contract, again to much negative comment in the press, and put the Old Vic up for sale. In 1998, the building was bought by a new charitable trust, the Old Vic Theatre Trust 2000. In 2000, the production company Criterion Productions was renamed Old Vic Productions PLC, though relatively few of its productions are at the Old Vic Theatre. In 2003, actor Kevin Spacey was appointed as the new artistic director of the Old Vic Theatre Company. Spacey said he wanted to inject new life into the British theatre industry and bring British and American theatrical talent to the stage. He served as artistic director until 2015. Since 2015, Matthew Rorcas has been artistic director of the Old Vic. His debut season opened in September 2015 with his production of a new play about education, Future Conditional, by Tasmin Oglesby. On the 24th of October 2017, the Old Vic announced its bicentenary season. The theatre celebrated its 200th birthday on the 11th of May 2018 with a free performance of Mood Music featuring Ben Chaplin. So, I hope you've enjoyed our look at the Old Vic Theatre, and it's one of those theatres that people don't really think of when you think of theatre in the West End of London, mainly because it's on the wrong side of the Thames, and it's a theatre all on its own, not in the middle of what you would normally think as Theatreland, Shaftesbury Avenue. If you'd like to make contact with us, or suggest any places you'd like us to feature in future podcasts, you can let me know through our website, londonvisited.co.uk, or our social media. It is that easy. Thanks for listening. Really hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll see you soon for the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to get more shows direct to your device. Also, why not visit our London Visited YouTube channel to get even more of London. Catch you soon on the next one.